The Global Influence of Steve Jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, broadcasting live this week from the BBC in London, I'm Jeremy Hobson. Good morning. We're going to start with Apple's founder and former CEO, Steve Jobs, who died yesterday at the age of 56. He came from California. He worked from California, but his influence stretched around the world. I started off the day at the Apple store in Covent Garden here in London and spoke with Sam Ho, who stopped by just to pay tribute.
I don't want to sound too sentimental, but you know, this stuff has kind of changed my life and the way I listen to music, the way I get in touch with my friends, the way I access the internet. You know, it's just a life changer.
That was the scene here in London. In Hong Kong, a candlelight vigil was held in honor of Steve Jobs. And as Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports, many Chinese people see something uniquely American about the innovation and creativity of Steve Jobs.
When PhD student Wang Chen-Chun heard about the death of Steve Jobs, he came here to Asia's newest and largest Apple store in downtown Shanghai. He figured it was the best way to pay tribute to his hero. I asked him if China will ever have a Steve Jobs.
I don't think so.
If Steve Jobs were born in China, he wouldn't have become what he is today. Our education system doesn't encourage innovation or creativity.
Innovation may not be China's strong suit, but assembly lines are. Chinese factory workers put together thousands of iPhones and iPads a day. But China is now more important to Apple for its consumers, people like Shen Zhiyang.
We Chinese have a hard time following our hearts. He did. I really admire him. But I've never wanted to buy an Apple product because everyone has one.
But Shen is so moved by the passing of Apple's founder that 10 minutes later, he walks out of the store with a smile and a new iPad 2. Assembled in China, bought in China, inspired by Steve. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Interestingly, Apple stock is not taking a beating in pre-market trading this morning. It's down just 0.25%. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in Europe and Asia this morning, 1.5% higher in London, up about 2% in Frankfurt right now. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 131 points to close at 10,939.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Now to the European debt crisis. This morning, the focus is on whether banks will need to get a new round of stress tests to see how they would withstand a Greek default. In Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel said the European Rescue Fund can only be used as a last resort to save banks. Yesterday, as protests roared in Athens, Greece, I spoke with the BBC's Mark Lowen, who is there, and the BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. I started by asking Steve Evans how the Germans are feeling about the Greeks.
Well, if you want kind of an objective measure, the polls show a lot of unease about giving money to Greece. Say 4 or 5 months ago, the papers in Germany were painting this picture of Greece as being a country of scroungers and wasters and people who take bribes and who don't work very hard. Now, the tone has changed, you know. It's as though German politicians have suddenly realised that the choice is between giving money to Greece or letting the euro shatter. And if they let the euro shatter, German business would suffer.
Okay, well, Mark Lowen, over to you in Athens. I mean, how does that sound to you? And what are the Greeks feeling about the Germans at the moment?
I think it's a pretty difficult time probably to be a German in Greece at the moment because the Greeks are pretty resentful to a large extent. And also the Greeks are pretty resentful about how they are portrayed by the German press. You heard there from Steve about various articles that have portrayed them as wasters and lazy. The Greeks say, we are not like that. We have our way of life and we are not to blame for the misdemeanors of our government who have spent too much money in the last few years more money than they had.
Steve Evans in Berlin, I want to ask you, I was on the streets of London the other day and I was speaking to some people and they were saying, you know, yes, the European problems are bad, but the U.S. economy is also a major concern. You're in Germany, a big global economy. What are they worried about right now, Europe or the U.S.?
I think they're worried about everything. What I think you can say is that there has been a rise of anti-American feeling since the great crash of 2008, and people by and large think those events started in America with a society that borrowed too much and forgot what the Germans would certainly see as the basics of economic life, which is that you earn and then you spend.
And Mark, over to you in Athens. What's the feeling there?
I think they feel that it's really in the hands of the Germans and of other Eurozone members more than the Americans. There is an understanding here that the American debt crisis is very much mixed up in all of this. But that said, there is so little support here in Greece for the austerity drive being pushed through that the embattled Prime Minister, George Papandreou, and his cabinet need the support of Mrs. Merkel and others. So on the one hand, resentment on the street, I think, towards the heavy hand, if you like, of Germany and other strong Eurozone members, but also they're the ones keeping Greece afloat at the moment and supporting Greece through this very, very difficult time.
The BBC's Mark Lowen in Athens and the BBC's Steve Evans in Berlin. Guys, thanks to both of you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
And finally, back to Steve Jobs. There's been a lot of talk about all the industries he changed. Well, here's another: public radio. After all, if it weren't for Steve Jobs and the iPod, there would never have been a podcast. That was change enough. Now you can get on your iPhone or iPad or iPod Touch and stream live public radio programs or stations. I used to say as long as Americans were addicted to driving, public radio would be okay because so many people listen in their cars. Now I say public radio will be okay as long as Americans are addicted to driving and to all the devices that Steve Jobs gave us. In London, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
On Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles, it's tough times getting by for a lot of riders, but not all of them.
I had several friends, computer science majors in particular, they were getting offered $35 an hour as summer interns before they even have their bachelor's degree.
I'm Tess Vigeland, riding the bus, talking the economy, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.